So welcome. And this is, well, the first Live with Linda Tuesdays of this 2021. And this opportunity to come together and to share our T-Touch experiences and to work with each of you, as we've often done, and then share that work and see what comes out of it is just has been very remarkable how it's affected so many of our lives. And this, boy, after this time of being locked in for over a year now, the concept that we can help ourselves is so important. I just want to do an overview, and I know many of you have heard this many times, and yet it's said that we have to hear something 28, what is it? It used to be 21 times. No, actually, we have to practice something new 21 days in a row in order to get it. It's now said like 28 days because we have so much going on in our lives. And it's been also said for years that you have to hear something like 10 times to really get it. So for those of you who are interested in sharing this work with others, perhaps you'll hear something new in this for the first time. So I want to say that I received a letter yesterday from Stacy Ryan asking, is T-Touch considered a massage? Because she'd been asked to edit. She's a nurse and has been doing this work for many, many years with her horses. And she was asked to edit this piece calling T-Touch a massage. And she knows that that's not what it is. So the question is, like, how do we define this? And the fact is that, let's see, here's in this little book, this is how this T-Touch all started. On my 30th birthday in 1967, I saw this advertisement for $5. You could get a computer-generated astrological reading. And this is actually called Your Portrait in the Stars. And that's how all of this started, bringing us together. Because this, in this little book, which is 97 mimeograph pages, the primary concept was that in my lifetime, I would develop a form of communication that would spread around the world. And in order to do so, I would have to learn to trust my intuition. And as many of you know, I immediately went to our library. My husband was 20 years older than I and had a very big library. And I pulled down a book and I looked and just reached up intuitively and pulled down a book. And it happened to have a definition in the index of intuition. And it was, intuition is unlearned knowledge. And that today, of course, my understanding is it's knowledge that is in the quantum field. And all we have to do is trust and listen. And so I just started doing that. Later, in later years, I found another definition, which I'll be giving you because it changes our, it's fascinating. So what happened, I started looking for these milestones. And I had already been doing body work on horses starting in 1960, where my grandfather brought us a form of gypsy massage that he had been successful, as an American, been successful with racehorses with a lot of wins. It's a whole other story. But he brought us that form of massage to our thoroughbred breeding farm that my husband Wentworth Tellington and I were in partnership on. And so for 15 years, we used this form of body work on horses that really helped them to recover after hard endeavor. Like, we did a lot of 100-mile and one-day endurance riding and eventing, and every year the steeplechase at the Los Altos Hunt, and of course, lots of horse shows. And I had a school for Shannon Weil. Where are you, Shannon? Shannon wrote a book called Strike a Long Trot. And if you want an amazing read and you want to understand what's behind this work, read that book, Strike a Long Trot. And Shannon will write that name of it. And it's a legendary horsewoman, Linda Tellington Jones. And it's the story of the school and all that we did in those days. And so we were very successful with working on horses' bodies, but it didn't affect their behavior. It didn't, it helped them recover faster after hard work. But the big change came for me. And I used to, for years, I said, I was like a born again because I signed up for the 4-year Feldenkrais training at the Humanistic Psychology Institute in San Francisco. And at the time, I was living and working in Germany, had closed my school and gone to Germany, looking to see what I was supposed to do with my life beyond horses, I thought. And so I signed up for this course. And in the second day of this training in San Francisco, Dr. Moshe Feldenkrais made a statement that changed my life. And if any of you don't know the amazing Feldenkrais work, please look it up and have an opportunity to do awareness through movements and get some work if you can. There's a lot of it in the UK where many of you are from. So, in the second day of this training, Moshe Feldenkrais made a statement that made me prick up my ears. And he said that it's possible for a human to learn in one experience using gentle, non-habitual movements that activate new neural pathways to the brain that give us more possibilities for learning, because his passion was learning. And I remember thinking, wait a minute, if that's true for a horse, it's got to be true for As if it's true for a human, it's got to be true for a horse. And I went out that very afternoon to south of San Francisco and worked with a horse that had been brought down from Montana a couple of months before, never been ridden. She was a broodmare, 16 years old, and had this interesting habit that even though you were only bringing her in to feed her at night, you had to chase her to do it. That was her habit. And so he ran around, chased her, caught her up, and brought her to me. And I just began exploring what I call exploring, moving her body in ways that she could not move and with a different intention, because you will find that our intention has so much to do with our lives, our outcome of our lives. And it's okay, Roland, if he's listening, so if he doesn't come, it's okay. And unless you carry him, Griffin is supposed to go out, but he's right in our corner here and he's listening. He doesn't want to go out to pee. This is so funny. Griffin, come here. Come and meet everybody. Come on, Griffin. Come on. Come on. I want you to meet this little being because he has about 10 different beds around our house. Come over here so I can pick you up. Come on. Yes. Here he is. Here he is. You're a good dog, aren't you? He's actually not a dog. He's actually sent by the fairies because he has no hair. He has this chamois skin, and he's such a wonderful being, aren't you? You want to go to Roland? Yes, you just can go out and pee. There you go. He can hold it a long time, but I feel like a better doggy mom if he gets a chance to go out. So, what I did, I start the moving this horse in just in ways that with intention, instead of just doing the leg exercises, and because we've been working on legs and tails and stuff, not tails, legs for years, and with this form of gypsy massage. And I didn't expect anything, you all, but at the end of this session, we put her away and I left. And the next morning, the owner called me and he said, you won't believe this, but I turned the horse out after, this mare out after, and when I went to catch her up with the other horses to feed her, instead of running, which I always had to chase her, she was waiting at the gate. And he put her in the stall, and instead of diving for the hay in the corner, she turned and like do something. She stood by him. And it was one of these moments that changes your life, because indeed we could be with horses in a different way. And that's when that summer we stumbled upon, I mean, we were shown this labyrinth. It was just like one of those things that I'm sure some of you have experienced when you trust what you get. And the labyrinth has been around the world. It's in so many books now that people have found just taking their horses through that labyrinth, which is a maze, which will, I don't know why I call it a labyrinth because it isn't really, but just that movement through the labyrinth we found for horses, for dogs, for cats. Actually, we make a little labyrinth, and for humans, for children. We have children who have worked in the labyrinth, and if they get like hyper, like overexcited, they'll walk in that labyrinth themselves to calm themselves. And we have people in wheelchairs who have, for instance, with MS, who will have in their driveway taken painter's tape and made this form in the driveway and just go through it in their wheelchair a few times in the morning and find that suddenly they're present. That's really amazing. And it would be interesting for those of you who work with dogs. Of course, some of you have used it. If you haven't, you'll find it makes a huge difference with people, with adults, with children. It's fascinating. So anyway, that was my first big aha. And then many of you have also heard, but some of you have not heard, the thing that got me on the path of self, because this work is about recognizing that we are a collection of cells. And every cell in the body knows its function in the body. And that was my next aha, reading Sir Charles Sherrington in 1976, and reading that this amazing, he won a Nobel Prize for photons, so light in the cells. And when I read that every cell in the body knows its function in the body, I began to see to see dogs, horses, all beings, as this collection of cells. And that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be connecting with the intelligence in those cells. And if you think that this Nobel Prize winner wrote with such passion that every cell in the body knows its function in the body, that's what I started following during my whole Feldenkrais training. I didn't see the body as a nervous system and this neural pathways. No, I saw it as a collection of cells. And then, listen, I want to screen share this with you because this is, I'm just reminding, and for those of you here and have done it for many times, this is the foundation for this work. This is Dr. Fritz Albert Popp. And in 2006, let's see how I want to make sure I screen share this. Darn it, I didn't hit my share.
Linda, it is screen shared.
Oh, is it? Oh, that's funny. Thanks, Kirsten. There. So in 2006, one of our practitioners in Germany who was in the training for, it was a 3-year training for T-Touch for You. And she called the laboratory of Dr. Popp and made an appointment with me. And I thought, what? I mean, who am I? Like, why would he want to meet with me? Well, actually, it was really interesting because what his lab does is, or did, because he's now passed over, but they studied various methods because he had discovered light in the cells and he'd been researching it for years. And this is the latest that I just Googled. We know today that man essentially is a being of light. And the modern science of photobiology is presently proving this in terms of healing. The implications are immense. And for those of us, because I am one of them dealing with autoimmune, who are dealing with situations in the body where either physically or in some ways our bodies are not functioning in an ideal state for us, when we see us as a collection of light with every 1 1/4 circles, what we're doing is like a key to unlocking that connection to intelligence. But I have a little more. I want to do a little more with this. We are still on the threshold of fully understanding the complex relationship between light and life. But we can now say emphatically that the function of our entire metabolism is dependent upon light. And this is what happens. Why this is so interesting to me is that when I explained to Dr. Pop that I had had an experience of working on a horse who'd been injured and didn't want to be touched on the part of the croup. And when I got there, I had this really strange feeling, that sense that there was less light in the cells. Now, the reason I say it's strange, I don't see things. I don't work with auras or because I want anybody, I want a child to be able to do this work successfully. And the beautiful thing is you don't have to understand all of this stuff, what's behind it. You can just move the tissue in this 1 1/4 circle and release fear and pain. And we've been dealing with this for years, as you well know, and as many of you know. And so this concept of activating the light in the cells in an ideal way, if there's not enough light or if there's too much, bringing that place of peace in the body. That's what we can do, moving the tissue in 1 1/4 circles. So the next thing that is really important so that you understand this concept, the next thing I did was run into this book, Spontaneous Evolution, by Dr. Bruce Lipton and Steve Bauman. And next, on our next Sunday, we're going to delve into this concept of the evolution of the cells, because cell intelligence is so important. And when I read that in this evolution, one chapter in Spontaneous Evolution by Bruce Lipton, the concept that cells communicate and what we're doing with every 1 1/4 circles is supporting, activating, recognizing that communication between the cells. So when we think of, you know, what is T-Touch? It's not a massage, it's message. And the message is to support that brilliance between the cells. Now, the next thing that turned me on, and this happened when we started 2 years ago, these online classes, is this book. And we're going to be quoting from it. And this is The Code of Authentic Living, Cellular Wisdom. The reason this is important for us is I'm interested in the science behind this work, this T-Touch, and the spirituality. And they're completely together. The science proves the spirituality. What spirituality? What do you mean? Oh my goodness, that we are these miracles. And what we're going to be doing with this 1 1/4 circles, it's like a key to unlock that phenomenal intelligence of the body. And this book starts off in the first chapter, the first sentence is, every cell is a genius. And then she proves it. Now, who she is happened to be a professor at the Tufts School of Medicine, teaching biology, cell biology for 20 years. And she then read this legend that I am going to read to you. Actually, I'll just tell it to you because it's shorter. But it's on the back of this book. And what it did was give me that final stone. Is like, Listen, you all, we couldn't explain before how come I can have a pain in my knee and with a few tea touches completely reduce that pain. Many, all of you who have two teas here have had that experience of having been able to relieve your own pain or fear in your body with the 1 1/4 circles. And like, how come? This is what I've wanted to know all this time. And this legend is a Hindu legend, but I actually found the same exact concept in the Bible. And I know it's in all of around the world, in all of the religions' beliefs. This concept, go within. Now, listen, I want you to hear this legend because I think it's really important. So I'll just read the first part because I kind of like the way it starts off. Here is one legend of how wisdom came to be hidden from all humans upon the rubbing up against this legend. Joan C. King, ask yourself, or author, what if in all my academic studies of cells, I've missed the deeper truth of what I really am seeking? It was that question that led Joan beyond the academic search for the wisdom embedded in our very cells to the discovery of cellular wisdom and the journey within. And that's why I started with this, because this is what we're doing here. It's that journey within to connect with this amazing intelligence in every cell in our body. So to shorten the legend a little bit, there was once upon a time when all human beings were gods, but they so abused their dignity, their divinity, that Brahma, the chief god, decided to take it away from them. So they had this big powwow, and he said, okay, where can we hide it from humans, so they can't find it? Well, one said, I know, we'll take it to the highest mountain and they'll never find it. Oh, yeah, no, Brahman said, chief guy said, no, they'll find it. And another said, well, we'll go to the deepest part of the ocean and we'll drop it there. No, chief Brahma said, they will find it. And another said, I know, we'll find the deepest cave on the whole planet. We'll dig deeper and hide it there. And he said, no, they will find it. And he thought, I know where they'll never find it. We'll hide it within. And so they did. And since that time, mankind, womankind, humankind has run up and down the planet, you know, looking for this power, and it's within. And the thing that when I read that, I thought, this is the milestone I've been looking for. Because look at this, in this book right here, this is a collection, 210 pages of anecdotal evidence. These are just from our practitioners for dogs and horses over the years. This was put together in 2007, edited at that time. And it is full of all kinds of simple things where people caught a finger in a machine and just crushed it. And all she did was start doing tea touches way from it after, of course, everything that the doctor said. And by the way, I have to stop my story here at this moment and say very clearly, always remember that tea touch is never a substitute for medical help. That's, of course, the first thing you want to do is make sure when you have an injury that it's not broken, because you want that to be taken care of. But in addition, then, what you can do is start talking to the cells. And we have so many stories here from the ones I just know already who have been able to help ourselves with these simple 1 1/4 circles. And this is what we're now doing. We've recognized, I have finally recognized, that this idea of just this 1 1/4 circles is a message. And that is so beautiful. This concept came up from Lindy Decker in South Africa, one of our horse and dog practitioners. And she said, no, it's not massage. It's a message. You just have to change that one letter. And it's a message. This is a message. So Kirsten, if you could send this out, type this up and send it to everybody, I would love you to have this, because this is the huge clue to what we're going to be practicing here. And many of you have heard this now before. It's a message that comes every day from Abraham Hicks. And you can just Google at Abraham Hicks. How many of you listen to them or read Abraham Hicks every day? Can you raise your hands? Penny, Megan, Ava. Okay, I just want to see in the second row. How many in your second? What, Penny and Maggie. Only a few of you. It is so inspiring. It is so clear. Such clear information, and it's free. Just Google it, Abraham Hicks.
So Linda, will you just send it to me, and then I will post it in the membership site. Then everybody has access on it.
Yes, but actually, I'm going to ask you, because I know not everybody goes in there all the time, because some people have trouble finding it. I'm going to ask you, we'll just send an email out with it. So this was for that day. I said, I want an inspiration. What can I start this? I think it was a horse class I was starting. And this is what came up. Like, oh my gosh, every cell in your body has a direct relationship with creative life force, with a capital C, capital L, capital F. And each cell is independently responding. And that is what Bruce Lipton, who is the father, considered the father of stem cell research, stem cell therapy, writes in that book. It's what we're going to be talking about in our next Sundays. We're going to be going through. When you feel joy, all the circuits are open, and the life force with a capital L and a capital F, or the God force, can be fully received. When you feel guilt or blame or fear or anger, the circuits are hindered and the life force cannot flow effectively. Physical experience is about monitoring those circuits and keeping them as open as possible. The cells know what to do. They are summoning the energy with the capital E. And we're going to be talking a lot about that energy and reviewing it over and over. And I'm going to put this out there right now, because for those of you who did the Feldenkrais training, and I know we have a few here, we were never allowed to use the word energy. And that was a big deal in the 70s, of course, in San Francisco. Why? Because it wasn't known what energy is. But when you look at energy from quantum science, energy is everything. Everything. It's every word we speak, every thought we have. And that's really important as we're going to be practicing with our bodies. Every emotion, every feeling, and every belief. So if we believe when we have something wrong with us that it can never be better, what do you think is going to happen? And there is, Kirsten, if you can please be sure also, who was here when we got, actually, Maggie, maybe it was you who turned us on to the Rupert Sheldrake, Bruce Lipton talk. Was it Maggie? Can you write it? Oh my gosh, you all have to listen to this, because Rupert Sheldrake is the person who wrote, the scientist who wrote Dogs Who Know When Their Owners Are Coming Home. And all of you who love dogs need to read this. It's the same for horses. The same test could be done, research could be done with horses. And it's such an important book because this is why it's proof that we can communicate with our animals just from doing it. And Bruce Lipton, I mean, if you've never heard him, I believe he and Greg Braden are the most passionate, bringing the most amazing information to us that is will change our lives. It's just phenomenal. So listen to this. And so what we're doing here is this concept with every 1 1/4 circle, which we now recognize as a spiral that's in all of nature, we're connecting with that intelligence, and that's all we have to do. And the 1 1/4 circles is like a message to activate that amazing ability of our bodies to heal itself. That's what we're doing. And it's what Bruce Lipton talks about in that talk that Maggie's going to put in the chat. It's so worth listening to. And I have been signed up in Bruce Lipton's, you know, for $75 a year. He gives these, he used to give them every Saturday, but you can go back and listen to them. And this is really important information for our lives. And it's completely related to what we do here. So what I'm going to do is ask, first of all, if there are a couple of just very like short, typical stories of how you used T-Touch during this last time to help yourselves. When I say last time, during this pandemic, during this time to make a difference, to relieve your pain or your fear, because we're going to have a few short stories. Then I'm going to show you, because we have quite a few newbies, I'm going to put up this amazing 9 elements, because the reason this work is so learnable and over this amazing Zoom that we can get together is because we have very specific techniques, and you learn the 9 elements and the techniques, and then you don't have to know this, all this philosophy or what's really behind it. Just enhances your life and makes you able to understand how it is that you can relieve your pain and your fear. Who would like to share? And if you down at the bottom is this little reaction thing. Look at this, a little smiley face. Click on it and you'll see you can have a raised hand, or you can, you know, you'll see any like thumbs up or whatever, but it's the raised hands we want. So then we can see you. And as you're looking for that, what I want to really tell you, for all of you who are new to this, there's no such thing as a dumb question. Any question about the work that we are doing will be helpful. And you might think, oh, because I'm new, you know, that I should, there are no should knows. That's a gift to all of us, because we get to see from a different angle what people are thinking, asking, needing. Dilly, I see you. Your hand is up. Unmute yourself. And what I'd like to ask you, if you don't want to be like quoted, then just don't. And if you don't want us to see you, don't put your screen, you know, your picture on. And Dilly, is it okay if we
of course quote you? No problem at all.
Okay.
Mine was just really a simple thing that I've noticed since learning the heart hub from you. I do it every single morning when I get up. And what I have noticed is it's made such a difference, not just to me, but also to my husband. And I don't do it to him and he doesn't do it, but it's made a difference to him. And it's also made a difference to my dog in their sort of attitude, their behaviour during that day. And so it just is so interesting that just by changing yourself, you're changing everybody around you as well.
Wow. And can you, where did you learn
that? It was actually from you last, on Sunday, doing the tea touch for you. And it was actually since then that I've been doing it. No, it wasn't. It was before that you did a Zoom for Extra Dog. Is it that one? I think it was that one. I thought it was longer than Sunday. And it's just since then, and just doing this every single morning has just made such a difference. It's unbelievable. It's beautiful. For that, I thank you greatly.
And can you say how it has affected your dog and your husband? Although they don't do
They're both a lot more relaxed. Even yesterday, my husband had a cataract removed yesterday. And his attitude to it was just so different. He was so relaxed. He was very positive, and he's just been a lot calmer within himself. And my dog has been a lot the same. She has actually a very severe soft tissue injury at the moment on her shoulder and elbow. And it's made her quite fearful, because she's been in quite a lot of pain. And that fear seemed to subside hugely. I found that tremendous. I mean, I work on her a lot and I work with her a lot. So obviously she's somewhat picking up on my more relaxed attitude to things. And it's just lovely how it's just sort of spread further than just me on me.
And the thing that's so beautiful, if you know Heart Math Institute, they have done studies that show that how we are feeling expands our heart resonance. And so when we do this heart hug, it puts us in the state of the parasympathetic rest and recovery. It shifts us from this concern that we have, and from the amygdala, from the limbic system, of the fight, flight, freeze, faint, fool around state, into the activation of the forebrain. And that puts us in heart coherence. And that is measurable with the Inner Balance little app you can get for smartphones from Heart Math Institute. They either have a little handheld, it's a personal device that measures your heart coherence. I prefer the Inner Balance for the smartphone because they last, whereas the little inner, I've bought so many of those little M waves and they don't last very long, but they show that we go into that place of heart coherence, and that's our place for rest and recovery. And I love these studies because the Italians did a study that's been now 24 years or so ago, showing that the emotions that we have are picked up by our animals. It was done in a lab by accident. They found that these primates that they had hooked up to monitors were having the same excitation in their brain, the same pleasure of licking an ice cream cone that the lab technicians who were doing licking that ice cream cone was having. So we know that our place of coherence, this is also, and Kirsten, I'm sorry, you've got to push me to find this study, because I have a study that was printed in a magazine that was done by one of the people at HeartMath Institute, showing that horses would come and be next to the person who was thinking positive thoughts and was in a measurable state of heart coherence. And that's going to affect everyone around us. And we can do that just with our gratitude, with our breathing, and with this 1 1/4 circles. Thank you for sharing that story. That's fantastic. Lauren, hi.
Okay. Question. My dog needs to get from sympathetic to parasympathetic. I think that will stop this chewing on the feet. So can I use that on her? Just do the heart hug on her?
Well, I think
parasympathetic.
Yes, but so Lauren has a dog who has been, you said she's constantly chewing her paws?
It's always a foot in the mouth.
And when did it start?
Day she came home with me.
The day she came home with you from where?
Colorado. I picked her up, turned around and flew back.
She was a rescue?
No, puppy.
Oh, so, but she didn't do it before?
I don't know. I mean, I picked her up at 9 weeks old, brought her home. She was kind of stoned that day, I think. But the next day she started scratching, biting, and the foot in the mouth. And it's never stopped.
Come here, Luna.
And what did the breeder say?
I haven't talked with the breeder about it. She did bad breeding. She's very unknowledgeable.
So, and my first question, and this is what was to Lauren, what does her vet say? Do you have a holistic vet?
Very much so. Nothing we've been able to do has stopped it. He's Eastern medicine. We've tried everything.
So what I would do, and this can be concerned about anything we have in our body, start to bring her into her body, just like you are holding her, and start with these quiet tea touches along the spine.
Okay.
And it's just on thumb on one side, fingers on the other.
I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Okay, on the spine.
You know what? Now, hold on, because she's not going to be comfortable in that position. So you've got to organize yourself so that you're comfortable, because you can't breathe. And we're not going to do this. I'm going to do this just a little. And what I'm going to do, Lauren, because is it okay if I can you explain? Would you be willing to explain what you're going through personally?
I was diagnosed last Thursday with something called DISH. When I saw the x-rays of my spine a couple weeks ago, I thought the vertebrae were all twisted and turned, but it turns out they're not. They just look like it because they have so much extra growth on them. And the doctor said it's actually scar tissue that became bone. I had a bad fall 4 years ago, and apparently the trauma that broke all the bones on my right side, actually the trauma caused trauma to my spine too. Okay, sweetheart.
So this right now, I'm going to just guide you so that after the class you can do this, because you have to be in a really comfortable position, and you can't be at the computer and be in a comfortable position with her. I don't know if she could be on a couch beside you, but what I want you to do is go down the spine, and you can imagine on yourself as you're doing this along the, wait, let me just see if I can get a better view. Can you see me any better? I can see me, but can you see any better if you put me on speaker view, you'll be able to see me larger.
Hey, you're great.
Okay, imagine this is the spine, and you put your thumb on one side, and the fingers on the other, and say the shoulders are up here. You start just up here, and you do 1 1/4 circles and pause. Now, you can imagine doing this to yourself as though you were from behind yourself. And just go down the spine, just like this. I'm holding with the thumb. I'm moving the tissue 1 1/4 circles.
Right.
All the way down. And we're simply going to address from that core along the spine to start with.
So that's how to do Hartog on a dog.
That's not Hartog. That's working along the spine.
Oh,
the heart hug alone, whether that will work, I don't know.
Okay.
Because you need to address the spine, then you need to do these touches all down the legs. You don't go to the place that she's itching at first. You bring awareness to the parts that appear, you know, that appear to be normal. And you start there for anything that you're dealing with. And then, and Megan, I'm thinking of your horse at this point. I'm considering that you would be doing this on him. I would just like all of you who have horses or dogs, just follow me or follow it on yourself in your mind, because it works the same. And I'm going to be showing you how that's provable in quantum science. This is not woo-woo stuff at all. And so you go down the spine, then you go down the shoulders, down the front legs. And with these, look at 1 1/4 circles and a pause. I'm holding with the thumb. Now, this is our basic T-touch circle. And see if you can just follow me like that. Now, when you get to the pause, is it she or he? The dog.
Luna. Girl.
Girl. When you get to the pause, can you touch the pause and do circles on the pads on the pause? Does she allow it?
Yeah.
Can I see that? Is there a way to tip your screen? Just tip your screen. Oh. So
I'm sorry, sweetheart. I rolled over her. Okay, stay there, baby love.
Hold. Is she used to being in that position?
She loves to be on her back and have me.
Okay, great. So she's used to it. Now put one thumb. Let me see you do it. And Kirsten, can you pin me so that, can you pin Lauren? So when she's
pin me
speaks, we can see her. Now, easy, 1 1/4 and mm-hmm. stop. And hold up. Easy, she has to be comfortable. Just stop. When she's moves, just stop a moment. Let her know that you hear her.
I hear you.
Good girl. Now, you have to have your between thumb and forefinger.
Yes.
No, she's not easy. She's not liking that, is she?
Well, it's not a comfortable position.
Wait, you have to listen to me. Sorry, Lauren. It's not a comfortable position, so she can't feel it then. So can you just really 1 1/4 and stop? Just 1 1/4 and stop. And see what she says. Now, wait, she doesn't like that. This is not something we just do to them without them. Just ask her, how can we do this? Easy. And Lauren, look at my fingers. It's between the thumb and the forefinger. It's not just, it's a connection that you need. And all of you, as you have places on your body, it's the connection between the thumb and the forefinger. But this doesn't work. She's not comfortable. And so it's not reasonable for her, because it's hard for you, right? I mean, here we are, we're all trying to do this and she's not in a comfortable position. You have to just like, now we can go to that place. We can help her from a distance. So I'm going to lead us all now. We're going to go into heart hug, because when we focus and when we start to learn something, can we breathe?
No.
We hold our breath, of course, because we're focusing. So the aspects of your member of the heart hug, it's the breath, the smile, and it's like 1 1/4. Stop on the quarter and smile and really pause, all of you. I'd like everybody to do this. And send these, find someone or some part in yourself that you would just like to, an animal, a family member who would accept this. has to be that they accept it for yourself, like 1 1/4. And that pause, the pause is essential to support the body's miraculous ability to be in an ideal state. Now, Resna, is there a reason you're going over on the left? Can you turn your can you speak? I just want to let everybody get this. I'm going to go back to the gallery. Now, to remember this, 1 1/4. The smile, why is it important? It activates the feel-good hormone, the serotonin. It activates the serotonin when we smile. The breath, wow. It's like in through the nose and out through pursed lips. Now, when we move the tissue gently, that's activating the serotonin, excuse me, the oxytocin, what Bruce Lipton calls a trust hormone. And try both directions. If you're only going one direction, try the other direction one time and see how that is for you. See which way you prefer and go in that direction. Now, think of a place in nature as you're doing this. Just like something in nature that makes you feel wonderful. Tree, a flower, Mother Earth, the breathing of Mother Earth. And see how that feels. Now, I'd like to just get some feedback. Lauren, I'm going to come back to you in a little bit. And I'd just like to get some feedback from somebody with the heart hug, what you just got here as you're doing it, or their question that you have about it, or a feeling that you have. And as you're doing this, it's a breathing in, like in as you start from 6 up to whichever, up to the quarter, like deep breath in, and as you go around the rest of the circle, breathe out through pursed lips and pause. Smile. And then again, start again. It's just a slightly different place. Okay. Who'd like to give feedback?
Linda, Marnie has her hand raised.
Thank you. If you can, I'm only seeing half of the group, so great. Marnie.
Could you remind us of the size of the circle approximately?
Perfect. Thank you very much. Now, the thing about the soups, I'm going to go back to my speaker view. I showed it for the first time on Saturday, just like instead of one hand over the other, because you have no idea what size that is. And so it's actually like the tiniest movement. You see, it's around the face of the clock. So with my hand, I'm catching it here with the heel of my hand, which is what we call the elephant foot. And just, and actually it's the side here. And the size is dependent upon how easily you can move the tissue around. And it's the pressure is really important. I'm going to get some feedback and then we're going to look at the pressures again. And I'm going to ask a few people, just those who know pressures, what would you say? Let's see. Well, Marnie, what pressure would you say you're applying? And then I'm going to go into the pressures after. What would you say? It just means the contact that you have. What would you say yours is?
Maybe 3, 4, maybe.
Okay, good.
But I know you talk less, that you kind of like less.
Well, so what happens if we do less? It'll be a tinier circle, right? So if you want to do a bigger circle, you do a 3 easily. You catch the skin, and I'm holding right at this point now. I can make a bigger circle when I make a more contact. Now, if I make just a very light contact, like the lightest possible, I can only do a tiny circle. Ah, interesting. Which do you like best? Maybe you like a bigger circle. And Resna, go right in the center. It's actually on the heart chakra, on the centers, the energy centers that we're doing this. Instead of over on the left, instead of going over your left breast, stay right in the center. And it's all done right in the center. Look how, I'll just do it with one hand. Can you see how small? Right here in the center. And now do it, catch the skin. Try different parts. Like, I don't like using this flat part of my fingers because I tense my muscles. So I cup my hand, and that's why I like to catch like, look, it's really easy. Now, if we're over cloth, it's harder because you're going to slip. So you have to use more contact. Now, Denise, what contact, what pressure would you say what do you like? The light and small circle or a firmer, more active one? I'm going to go back to my gallery.
You mean me?
Denise, yes. Yes.
Hi. Hi. Yeah, I prefer mostly the easy one, lighter. Two, yeah, extremely, extremely easy. And also the students or my dog and between 1 and 2 pressure.
Perfect. Okay. Yeah. Now, there will be people who like to feel it more and like to do a bigger, more active circle. So who is that among you who prefers a bigger one? Okay, Shannon. Okay, yeah. Shannon and Resna, did you say?
Yes.
Raise your hand.
Megan.
Megan, okay.
Yeah, I do.
You prefer a big...
With a fist, gently, because I have big, you know, and it just moves it.
Right, so you fit better there. Now look at what she's talking about is we have all these different names so that when you fold your fingers back and you make that flat part and then put it fits really nicely in there, and I can use this part of my fingers like actually I'm catching between the first and second joint that we call the baby chimp, and all the touches have animal names. I don't know if Shannon had a chance to get that chart ready, probably not ready yet, but try that, just that flat part, see how that is. Actually, it feels really good. It's interesting. I haven't done that part. I've been doing the tips to the first, from the tip to the second joint. That's called the baby orangutan, that flat part. Huh? Any other, who else prefers the really light, very light touch? I'm going to go back and just raise your hand. And that means it's a very small circle. So who prefers more of a contact so you really feel it? Okay, Krishna. Penny, yeah. Okay, good. And Nancy, how about you? Do you prefer the light, very light, or more contact?
You know, I've tried both, and I actually like both of them. I don't have a preference. Maybe
you don't have to have a preference. It's interesting. So they both work, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now think about this, because when you make the bigger one, it feels like there's more involvement. When I make the small one, it's like a whisper. It's totally different, and they're both interesting. Maggie, do you have a preference?
I like the very light. And I like the, once I realized I could put this pad there, I do it with the pad. That was particularly nice.
Which pad?
Here.
Right.
Thumb pad, and then the right one on top. And I often like it anti-clockwise.
Yeah. And it's really worth checking each day. I have a tendency to check and just see how is it today, because it can change.
Well, I was doing it both ways today, and I was liking the clockwise more than usual.
Yep.
It felt less like a preference than it did on Saturday.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now,
Linda, could I make just one observation quickly?
Yes, and who's speaking so we can tell?
It's me, Dilly.
Hi.
Just a quick one. What I found was when I do this in the morning, I want fairly hard pressure and quite a large circle because it feels like it brings me into my body. Whereas if I'm feeling upset or agitated, I want just a small circle and very light. It feels like it's comforting rather than bringing me into my body again.
Interesting, eh? That's fascinating. Anybody else feel like a difference like that?
Pam Beat has her hand raised, Linda.
Pam, hi. Yes. Hi.
Linda, it's Becky Davis. I definitely feel it that same way. The heavier is grounding, and the lighter tends to enliven me or lighten me up. So it kind of depends on what I want it for or need it for.
Great. That's interesting. Pam, Beats?
I use the heart hug a lot when I'm having trouble with the asthma. And when you were doing the two, I'm sorry, my screen's so dark, but your two fingers together, I missed that on Saturday. So I started playing around with, you know, getting a real focus, I guess, to the circle. And I put my fingertips really close so the nails were touching, and almost a little bit like a bear touch, and did
interesting
light circle, like two or three. And I could feel my breathing change and the intercostal muscles open up. Because I do this one a lot. And, you know, clarifying the pad here was interesting. But this was kind of fun. So that was my comment.
Cool. And I'm going to have us kind of get to know each other as we go, because that's the fun part. Pam has been a T-touch practitioner for horses since, what, the 80s? 80s. And yeah. When did you do your Feldenkrais training?
I started my Feldenkrais training in 1987.
And who did you study with?
Dennis Leary, Elizabeth Berenger, Mark Rees, Gabi Yabron, Mark yeah. Russell.
All right. So it's so interesting, isn't it, to hear, because many of our, were you in T-Touch first or Feldenkrais first?
T-Touch, because yeah. I was introduced to Feldenkrais through you. And I went, hey, well, I actually had terrible back problems. You worked on my, no, there was a Feldenkrais practitioner at my first clinic with you. And he worked, you know, just kind of moving my legs around a little bit. And my back pain went away for like a whole week. And I went, huh, that's interesting. So here I am.
Here you are. Wonderful. Thank you. Lauren, hi.
And Linda Olivia has her hand raised too.
Okay, so we'll do Lauren first. Thank you, Kirsten. And then Olivia. Can you unmute yourself, Lauren? Down on your left bottom of your computer. Okay. There.
Yep. A week and a half ago, I had some really powerful energy work from my doctor of osteopathy. And I got in the pool afterwards, and the neighbors started playing rock music, and my heart immediately went out of rhythm. And it took me 20 hours to get it back in rhythm. And the first thing I tried was your heart hug, and I couldn't get anywhere. But now that I hear you say stop between, and I just kept going and going and going and going, stop between and smile. Now my heart is finally quieting down because it's been racing ever since then. So thank you.
Oh, yes. And the thing is, it's one circle and a quarter. I just, that pause.
I forgot the pause and the smile. Thank you.
And the thing is, Lauren, there's so many details. This is why it's really helpful to hear each other and to see, you know, what works. And that reminds us, oh, yeah, it's just I told the story on Saturday of one of our, Anna, maybe you remember her, the practitioner who worked in the hospital in London. And she'd had tremendous success bringing families together with the heart hug. She was counseling in the hospital. And one day the heart hug was not working for her. She was really stressed, really upset, wasn't working. And she realized she hadn't taken that, imagine taking the clock off the wall. And so that you understand why that clock makes such a difference, the clock has numbers on it. And numbers activate our logical part of our brain, our left brain. And when we're in a state of agitation, man, we don't feel ourselves. No, no, no. You know, it's like, where are we? Who are we? And that, so first of all, okay, wait a minute. I can focus on the numbers. And then the movement and the visualizing the clock, visualizing activates that right brain. And the right brain, and you really want to memorize this, because it makes a difference knowing these details. Right brain is responsible for our feeling. And Lauren, when your heart is racing and all you can hear is that awful music and that you're upset, you can't feel your body.
Yeah.
Out of the body. How many of us describe I had an out of the body experience, meaning I was so afraid I was out of my body? It happens to our animals all the time. It's like with your dog, when she's chewing, she's so set on this, she's not in her body. And that's right. Why we start along the spine and we bring with these pauses in between, feel yourself, and we smile at her because it's, and it's better if she's not on her back, because although that's a cushy feeling, she can't think in that position. So put her in a place where, and it's really hard because she's going to be agitated. Sing to her. Boy, if you could just let, you know, maybe some really quiet music that you like and will calm you and calm her, that will be helpful. Because it's a lot of little detail. No? So that wow. Right brain feeling, you can feel yourself. Creativity. It activates our creativity. We get creative. Wait a minute. How do we use this hand? That's part of the creativity. And the concept of compassion. Well, feeling not sorry, because that's not good for our nervous system and not good for the other person or animal's nervous system when we feel sorry. It actually is damaging to them, according to Dr. Roland McCready from HeartMath Institute. It affects our bodies negatively when we feel sympathy. But empathy is something different. And the fourth thing that's so cool is this, right brain activates the intuition. And I'm going to give you this definition of intuition. And Shannon, I'm going to ask you to post this in our Facebook website that we have for this group. It's especially for this group. And it's, Kirsten, if you send it, it's the definition for intuition that we send out in all of our, I send out in my dog and horse classes. And it's, intuition is the manifestation of divine consciousness within you. That's what we're talking about. I mean, what do we think runs this? How do we see? How do we feel? How do we hear? It's that creative life force, universal source force, whatever you want to call it, the God force within us. It's that creative life force. And that's what we're addressing with this. So, intuition is a manifestation of divine consciousness within you. Receiving and understanding its messages will change your life and help you find your true path. And it brings us to connect with this genius in every cell. That's what I keep going back to, this, amazing concept, this genius in every cell. That this Joan King, the cell biologist, wrote about. Same thing that Bruce Lipton says. And Maggie, didn't you love it when Bruce says, "Hey, I thought I was teaching science, and I was really teaching religion," because we're all miracles, you all. We are all walking miracles, and that's what Tea Touch is about. And the 1 1/4 circle, that which is a spiral that is in all of nature. That's the key to connect with that phenomenal intelligence within our body. And that's like when you are dealing with something like you're told this thing, Lauren, this awful, situation that you find yourself in, please read Joe Dispenza. Because he was able to heal himself from something that should never have healed just with his mind. And when we add in the circles, it's way you add in your mind, the circles. And I know you can't reach back there, but you can imagine yourself. You have to put yourself, all of you who are dealing, including me, with these issues like autoimmune disease, wait a minute, with all of you, I'm going to ask you with me to imagine, wait a minute, what's really going on? I have to rearrange this. So, of course, I have to use the blood tests. I use all of the naturopathic ND stuff I have, including my integrative doctors. And I have the magic of Tea Touch. That I can use all of this and then connect with that intelligence within every cell of the body. I want us to think about that.
Raised hands.
Okay, and what I'm going to ask is we're going to just take a 10-minute stand-up break. So at 25 after, we'll come back and Kirsten will get those two hands. So we'll be right back in 10 minutes.